The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to A Good Football Show. I am Patrick Daugherty, joined today by Mr. Craig Dennis Carter. We will be discussing Russell Wilson's fit with the Broncos, some under-the-radar pass-catching running backs, one of Denny's favorite topics, and then Denny's true favorite topic, kickers. That is if we have time, because we will be joined in the second half of the show by Mr. Bob Lung to discuss next month's Fantasy Football Expo in Canton, Ohio, where Denny and I will both be, and I believe participating in panels, perhaps even playing flag football. And we also have a Bob's annual fantasy football consistency guide. But first, Denny, did you get invited to the Scott Fish Bowl? You in the Scott Fish Bowl? Anybody else hear about this?
There it is. There's the one. Yes, I lobbied for months to get Scott Fish to include me, and he did, which was nice.
So in mine, I had – so Scott Fishbowl, it's a super flex. It's tight end premium. You get points for like a first down or something, right?
There's a lot of little caveats, little scoring tweaks here and there. And, first downs are one of them. I think tight ends get 11 points per reception.
Yeah. You lose a lot of points for quarterback interceptions, I know. So I had the 12th pick. So I got back-to-back. And I did Mr. Justin Jefferson – and then I did the highest T pick. Is this the highest T or lowest T pick imaginable, Denny and Tom Brady at 2-1 in the Scott Fish Bowl for me?
I think it could go either way. I'm going to say it's a very high T pick because he's going to be, this is his age 45 season. And so, yes.
Oh, when your testosterone starts leveling off, right?
For others,
commercials. Yeah, I mean, every time. Dan, I know you've been dabbling in baseball. So if you watch baseball games, there are a lot of commercials about ways to like fix your tea.
Oh man, Frank Thomas and Doug Flutie are constantly talking to me about my tea levels.
Yeah, well, I think that stuff is like almost like HGH. I don't know what that stuff is, Nugenics or whatever. No offense to Nugenics.
I like my favorite part of the testosterone supplement commercials are when they give a wink and a nod to the sexual part of
men's health.
They never say it. They never say it. They're just like, you know what I mean?
It's always like a 75-year-old guy who looks like he's just been doing courses of HGH for like 9 straight months. And he has a very thick white goatee. And he's like, victory, men's health, put it back in me, if you know what I mean. And I'm just talking about a commercial. This is on, my kids see this, so right, we can talk about it on the podcast.
My wife knows what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I'm trying to watch a baseball game. Like, yeah, maybe just my kid is 6 years old.
How do I explain this to
you? Yeah, I know. It's true. Daddy, yeah, why is grandpa, his muscles just like popping off his body? And I've never, ever seen a goatee styled so
So it's such a high T fashion. By the way, I this has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I have to tell you something about the Fantasy Football Expo, and it's this. I don't know if I can play flag football because I have a busted right knee.
What?
Is this how
you got out of the draft, too?
I injured my knee playing softball, and I was not able to get through our playoffs. We had a four-game playoff, and I had to be helped off the field. And
are
I,
you serious?
And my knee is not right, and I need to go to the doctor. And I really want to play. Like, I would do anything to play flag football with you guys, but I don't know if I'll physically be able to do it. I might have to be the coach. I don't know.
Wow. What's me? Have you gotten an MRI yet?
I have not. It's the back of the knee. I don't understand.
Are you one of those men who's like afraid to go to the doctor?
I haven't been to the doctor since the second Bush administration.
But you have been, you've been to the men's health clinic many, many times, working on your testosterone levels.
Yes.
I haven't found anything that works, but
it's not covered by health insurance, unfortunately.
I mean, I want to play the flag football. As we saw in Los Angeles, you know, I'm a bit of a football star. Is it your kicking leg, by the way? Could you kick still?
No, I could not kick. Absolutely could not kick. Man. No.
I'll have to do it then.
Yeah, well, at the Super Bowl, I saw you throw it clear over that mountain.
I kicked it over the indoor mountain. I'm Uncle Rico, the leg version. But we really need you. We really, really, really need you because you've got a lot of sneaky athleticism yourself.
It's sneaky. I'm a Wes Welker type.
Yeah, you are you're bigger than Wes Welker. Denny, by the way, is like Denny's big in person. Denny presents big. Well, you're like 5'11" maybe? 6 foot even?
I'm like barely 5'10".
All right. Well, you present big in person.
That's because I work out all the time.
It's the tea. It's the tea that you've been dabbling in there. And by the way, so the first guy we're talking about is Russell Wilson, high or low tea?
Oh, man. I mean, work ethic-wise, there's no one more high tea than Russell Wilson. The guy probably sleeps in his pads and helmet.
So he's probably he's the kind of guy who probably turns every second of his workout into an NFT or something because he doesn't like being poor, you know, that kind of thing.
yeah, right.
He just texts like Tim Patrick's like, oh, do you like being poor? Why aren't you making your workout into an NFT?
You're right. And, yeah, I could see that. But overall, I don't think that he has a super high T aesthetic. I think that, you know, his wife has definitely helped him.
To the T levels there.
With you looking more like a dude, you know, before he constantly looked like a tourist in Hawaii.
He did. He looked like an American tourist in like Vienna. Who somehow had two cameras around his neck, not just one.
Yeah. Right. I mean, yeah. So his style definitely has gotten better, but overall, I think that he's actually way too nice a guy to be considered high T.
I think he's a nice guy, but I think to rehab like 21 hours a day for a finger injury, I think that is like truly uncontrollable levels of testosterone.
Yeah, when he was tweeting in the middle of the night, being like, "We're grinding here," I'm like, "Bro, like your
body." He had like Dr. Anthony Fauci like stretching out his finger for 8 hours a night. Like that's how committed he was to the rehab grind.
Part of the rehab, Russell, should be getting some sleep.
Yeah, you know, no. As we learn more and more, people are saying more and more that sleep is important.
Yes, it is. It's not an extraneous factor. No. You know, it would be like him not drinking water during rehab and be like, I don't have time for water.
And as we know, he's from the generation that can't get enough water, unlike our fathers, who we have still never seen drink water and never will.
They never have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now you got me thinking about my dad not drinking water, but Russell Wilson needs to sleep more. It's not cool to not sleep. Sorry, Russell.
Not cool to not sleep. And so we'll get into the show now, Denny. ESPN's Russell Fowler had the explosive report, the exclusive, that the Broncos are, quote, tailoring their offense around Russell Wilson. And I mean, sounds like I'm making fun of Jeremy Fowler, but I mean, he didn't mean for his report to be taken the way, like his report was like taken as like a bombshell when, I don't think he was trying to present it as a scoop that they were building their offense around Russell Wilson, just passing along a pretty interesting report. And so first off, we would say that we hope that they're tailoring their offense around the quarterback. They surrendered 2 first round picks, 2 second round picks, Noah Fant, et cetera, but the question remains, and I've been wondering about this all offseason, do you think Russell will actually find like what he's looking for in Denver? Because he's going from a run heavy offense, you know, to what should be a Packers type system that we know revitalized itself with balance and the run. And the Seahawks pass rate was 57% last year. The Packers pass rate was only 58%. I mean, they're both top 16. But, like, do you really think, like, this is going to be Russell unleashed? or is he going to be frustrated again by like a very, very balanced offense?
I have a lot of stuff. I have a lot of stuff to talk about here. I'll start with this, that I think it is, especially at this time of year, somewhat newsy that the Broncos are tailoring their offense to fit Russell Wilson because, if we remember correctly, and I believe we are, Russell Wilson left Seattle because they weren't doing that. Because Pete Carroll literally refused to do it. Now,
I guess it is true. I'm talking like in a mocking tone, like it's a no-brainer to tailor the offense around Russell Wilson when his previous coach refused to do that for a decade.
And he won. And he won. Pete Carroll won. He lost, but he won. And so you have the Broncos maybe doing what we saw with the Seahawks do in 2020, which when the Let Russ Cook movement broke through from Twitter into
one of the most successful mass popular movements of the 21st century.
It beats the labor movement, honestly, in the 20th century. And which was very weird to see, but you may remember as a fantasy manager that really was quite cool and productive for the season's first half, not so much for the second half. I'll give you the zoomed out view of what that looked like. So Seattle had a 61% pass rate in the first 8 weeks of that season, 2020, that dropped to 58% for the final 8 weeks. So that not a huge drop there, but in the first 8 weeks, Russell Wilson had by far the league's highest completion rate over expected, highest EPA per play, was nearly at the top in air yards per attempt. That all came crashing down in the second half. But the thing is, the type of throws that he was making in the second half of that 2020 season were not all that different than the throws in the first half. I'm trying to distill some of the stats I found and say that it's not as if they told him, Russell, you have to dump it off. Russell, you have to throw it to the intermediate part of the field. He kept trying those deep shots. They weren't working because teams shifted to that too high safety shell.
So was this the beginning of the too high safety disease, and we just didn't credit early enough?
Well, it was not the beginning, but it was one of the first. So I have this stat about the too high safeties in 2018.
I'm sorry, Dane, just cut you off real quick. By the beginning of the too high safety, I just meant the resurgence. Obviously, yeah, the too high safety is not a new look in the NFL.
That's right. Yeah, that I think that's accurate. In 2018, the highest amount of too high safety looks faced by any quarterback in the league was 42% in 2018. During the 2021 NFL season, only five teams faced too high safeties less than 40% of the time. So this is a big trend that has been implemented to stop these high flying aerial attacks, and including obviously Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. It worked to perfection against the Seattle offense in 2020, when they could not move the ball. They became one of the least productive offenses,
unwatchable
as far as yards and touchdowns in the second half of the season. From a fantasy perspective, Russell Wilson was nearly unstartable. DK Metcalf, nearly unstartable. Tyler Lockett, except for one explosion, just unstartable. You could not start him in 12 team leagues. This was a stark contrast to how things started. So teams know that. Teams know how to get to Russell Wilson. I think a tailored offense for around Russell Wilson in Denver is not going to look like that. It can't look like that because it didn't work because teams figured it out.
And so that's the thing. It's like, I feel like the overall ratios will be pretty similar. We're like, they're going to be running the ball almost as much as the Seahawks did, the Broncos. But the hope is that it's much more like the Packers, where I keep reusing this joke phrase, whatever you want to call it, where the Packers, they'll want to run smarter, not harder. Mm-hmm. Whereas Pete Carroll, it's always this harder. And like they want, and two really good running backs. Russell Wilson was used to that in Seattle. They actually always had fairly good backfield talent. But you have Javonte Williams, re-signed Melvin Gordon. The hope is just that even if the overall pass rate, it doesn't like explode for Russell Wilson, but yeah, he's not hampered by these too high safety looks. He's put in much more advantageous spots because they're passing more on like second and three or like third and two instead of third and seven, second and eight, that kind of thing. And that, so even if we don't get like Russell Wilson setting a new career high for attempts or whatever, or Russell Wilson you know, or the Broncos passing over 60% of the time, it works like it does in Green Bay, where Aaron Rodgers is still an elite real life quarterback, an elite fantasy quarterback, even though he doesn't have the kind of volume you would typically associate with that. And that's what we have to have happen with Russell Wilson and the Broncos.
So the more I read into, you know, what happened in 2020 to the Seahawks in between the first half and the second half of the season, the more the avenue sort of led to the Broncos running backs as being the beneficiaries of, and this sounds funny, of an offense tailored to Russell Wilson's strengths.
So Pete Carroll is winning the argument, is what you're saying.
He's winning the war. To beat two high safeties, you know, offenses have to become kind of boring. And we saw that in Kansas City last year, where Patrick Mahomes, you know, is not thrilled about being boring. He didn't want to be boring. So he ran around. He tried to make Superman plays. It didn't really work. They didn't have, you know, a great run game, so they couldn't counter it like that. But teams have to methodically move the ball downfield and kind of open up the passing game by running the ball and to get guys in the box, to get defenders in the box, so then you can attack downfield. And the Seahawks could not do that if the Broncos can, and I think they can with those running backs and a decent offensive line. I think that the running backs, especially obviously Javonte Williams, who is kind of off the charts in peripheral stats, could be the main beneficiaries here.
Denny, you came dangerously close to declaring analytics a failed state there, basically, where you almost just admitted it. Run. He almost just admitted it that, yeah, you have to establish the run to open up the pass. But if
teams are playing off.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's also, too, though, we think we will get the best of both worlds with the Broncos, where, yeah, it was this fan, like, basically, what, 2014 to 2019 was like a fantasy in the NFL. Like, it wasn't real football where, like, you couldn't just keep, you know, why don't teams just pass 70% of the time? And like it was every year they kept getting away with it until last year when defenses remember, like, hey, wait a minute. Wasn't there this really common coverage look that just stopped to this? And for some reason we stopped using altogether. And now we're seeing the return of balance, but hopefully we're seeing the return of Packers style balance and not Seahawks style balance, where it's not so predictable. It's not Mike Zimmer running two times for 4 yards on first and second down, and then being in third and sixth. It's like the Rams, Sean McVay mixing up the patterns, like the Packers mixing up the patterns, hopefully mixing in play action and admitting to that there is a point about having to have balance in the NFL, but you have to be unpredictable with your patterns and your play calling. Please just give us that in Denver.
If the tailor-made Russell Wilson offense is going to have success, Russell Wilson's going to have to get a lot better at intermediate throws. He's among the worst per EPA.
What's the deal with that?
Well, I don't know, but he's never been good at them. He throws that beautiful rainbow deep ball. We know that. We've seen it for over a decade in Seattle. That'll continue. But, you know, like I said, teams know how to stop that. You can't just do that, which is what the Seahawks did for the first half of the 2020 season. All they did was play action bomb. That you can't do that. I mean, eventually defenses will say, okay, we're just going to put two guys back there, and you literally can't do it anymore.
Do you think Russell Wilson will be a QB1? I mean, I guess he'll probably be a QB. Yeah. What kind of QB1 do you think he's going to be for the Broncos? Top what?
Top 10, which, you know.
You're not comfortable saying top 8?
Maybe, but I think that there is some downside here that people are not considering.
The supporting cast is good, but it's not as good. I will say that. And sorry, what were you going to say?
As much as I disagree with everything Pete Carroll says and does, you got to give it to him and say that maybe the reason the offense was not tailored around Russell Wilson is because he's not good enough. That's all I'll say. That's the conclusion I came to after reading 1,500, you know, reviews of how the 2020 season went for the Seahawks.
Well, he just has not been the same since midway through that 2020 season, where they just like totally lost their identity. Like you said, when the defenses started throwing those looks at them and they had no counterpunch whatsoever, they had no adjustment. And he was trending the same way last year. And then after he came back, he missed 3 games, the finger, he was not good. until Rashad Penny went absolutely nuts the final five games. Yeah. And then Russell Wilson started posting usable stat lines again. And it was kind of like Pete Carroll being like the Joker.
Yeah,
like, absolutely. What now?
Yeah, no, I mean, he could have put the makeup on and everything, and I would have been fine with it, because I think that he in the end was right. You know, a lot of pushback I got on Twitter was, of course, they're tailoring around him. Every team tailors their offense around their great quarterback. My counter to that is, maybe Russell Wilson isn't a great quarterback.
Nah, I mean,
is that bad? Is that wrong?
It's probably wrong, but it is. It is interesting. I mean, he's very fascinating because, yeah, it seems like every time they did open it up, it would run really hot and then it would really cool off quickly.
I think you're onto something about the end of last season. If Javonte or whoever, you know, in Melvin Gordon, if they go off, I think he can ride that train. I think that can be the catalyst to a bigger type of Russell Wilson season than I'm saying right now. But if it's just him dropping back and throwing rainbows to Cortland Sutton, that's not working.
It's what revitalized Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Like, he just made his passing life so much easier when they had a more sophisticated, more productive rushing attack. Yeah. But yeah, the key is it has to be more sophisticated. It can't be Mike Zimmer, where they're just, you know, run first down, run second down, and then we'll see what happens on third down.
Absolutely.
It has to be much more sophisticated than that. So Russ, too, though, I mean, people kind of always forget how old Russell Wilson is. He's like 35 already.
Yeah.
Is he actually 35? Let me look this up real quick.
Yeah, we're going to look it up. This is good podcasting.
He's 34. He's turning 34 in November. So he's older than you think. So definitely one of those. And I'll just ask you this real quick. Well, and we've been talking about Russell Wilson way too long, but do you think, is this supporting cast better than the supporting cast he had in Seattle? I think people are kind of like taking it as like an article of faith that this supporting cast is better. Maybe it's deeper, but do you think Russell Wilson's Seahawks supporting cast or his new Broncos supporting cast is better?
I think that the undeniable, almost mystical connection he had with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf's dominance as a boundary receiver, I think that I would take that over what he has in Denver. I feel like the Cortland Sutton excitement is a little much. It's just a little much. I mean, this guy vanished from the face of the earth one season ago. Okay. He came back from a devastating knee injury.
He had alibis. Yeah.
He was not the same. He was not fantasy relevant at all over the last like 10 or 11 weeks of the season. Like, well, I feel like we need to pump the brakes big time on Cortland Sutton.
He's coming off the knee injury with Teddy Bridgewater, with Vic Fangio, but it was discouraging. It was definitely just a discouraging year for Jerry Jeudy as well. They're a good approximation of what Russell Wilson had in Seattle. They're not as good as DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, but they're a pretty good approximation of what Russell Wilson had. So hopefully it is enough. Denny, unfortunately, this is not a joke. We might not have enough time to talk about your kickers.
That's okay.
But we're going to talk about your recent article headline, 4 low-key superb pass-catching running backs. I mean, I'm not trying to say that. It sounded like I was mocking, and I'm not. Pretty interesting article. So just take us through the concept, and maybe we'll get into some of the players that you wrote up.
Yeah, so basically I wanted to look at guys who in recent seasons have been very successful in small sample sizes as a pass catcher out of the backfield. This was predicated on a few stats, including yards per route run, targets per route run, and this very, very cool stat that I sort of recently discovered on it's fantasy points expected per target, which I think is very cool. I talked to Pat Corain about it. And so some of the guys that jumped out, and you can read the piece on NBCSportsEdge.com, Michael Carter, who's kind of the cover guy for this, Kenneth Gainwell from the Eagles, obviously Tony Pollard, Ramondre Stevenson also jumped out. And then some other guys included Cordarrell Patterson and Nyheim Hines. Patterson, I think I mentioned this last week in our Falcons preview. Patterson posted insane pass catching numbers.
And I didn't realize how efficient he was until you talked about it on the podcast.
Really something almost CMC like type efficiency out of the backfield. No, I'm not saying Patterson is CMC.
It's too late. It's been clipped.
I'm just saying. You know, Tony Pollard, you know, he pops in almost every way that you can look at it, including in his somewhat limited pass catching opportunities. Now, with Amari Cooper gone from Dallas, the hope is for fantasy purposes that, you know, he slots in as like maybe the number two or three pass catching option for Dak Prescott behind CeeDee Lamb and behind Dalton Schultz. But maybe above Dalton Schultz, as if he is used consistently like that. You know, Pollard jumped out as well. And it made me think that Michael Carter is not a bad late round selection in redraft this year. I know Breece Hall is going to get the first crack at the whole three down thing, but if it doesn't work out, Michael Carter proved to be very productive on limited touches last year.
Well, is Michael Carter kind of like an elite zero RB target this year? Because yeah. I feel like it'd be putting a lot, even as a second rounder, it'd be putting a lot on Breece Hall's plate to have him be a three down back. I mean, and as we know, it's a more talented offense now, but it might not necessarily be an actually good offense. And there could be lots of third down, hurry up, comeback mode snaps. And Michael Carter's the classic, like he's like one injury away from maybe having a three down roll.
Sure.
So are you prioritizing him as a zero RB post?
I am. And here's one thing, I'll just take this from the article real quick. Bolstered by a surge of targets from Mike White and Josh Johnson. Who could forget that? From week six to week nine, Carter finished his rookie season with the sixth highest targets per route run among running backs who had at least 100 routes. And he consistently commanded targets, which is all you can, you know, really ask for. And it's an important aspect. It's more important than asking, does a quarterback check down to running backs? That question, and it's something that I've kind of learned recently, that question about the quarterback tendency is certainly secondary to a receiving running back's ability to command targets.
Would it say you changed your thinking on Michael Carter doing this article?
Yeah.
Is there anyone like who did you change your thinking on the most? Maybe heading into like the height or not the height of summer draft, the kind of the end of best ball season, really the beginning of redraft season.
I am more comfortable with Tony Pollard at ADP. And I think on this show, I have expressed some hesitancy to take him at ADP in redraft. I feel a little bit better about that. Kenneth Gainwell, who I mentioned in the article, was not on my radar. And if you believe, and it's a valid belief, and I think that we'll probably see more of this as the summer wears on, if you believe that the Philadelphia offense will be more balanced this year, that they didn't acquire A.J. Brown in order to run the ball 65 times a game, then Kenneth Gainwell, would stand to reason that if he serves as the main pass-catching back in that type of offense, that, you know, he could be not a PPR monster or anything, but certainly serviceable, especially if you are kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel as a zero RB drafter.
Well, the thing of the zero RB, too, is like it has to really, I feel like, be a successful zero RB. I mean, you have to be in on the guys that like there becomes like popular zero RB guys who then kind of by definition become not zero RB. And I feel like Kenneth Gainwell is not, no one's going to want to be taking Kenneth Gainwell.
No.
And so he does strike me as like a true zero RB where you just look at the situation where they're going to be run heavy regardless. So they have a nice run base to build off of, but then hopefully so in the ways that they are less run heavy will be more, like short targets to people like Kenneth Gainwell. It would just make a lot of sense for Kenneth Gainwell to be much more involved this year.
So this is one that really caught my attention. Gainwell finished 2021 second among all running backs and expected fantasy points per route run.
And who was first?
Patterson.
Wow.
Yeah. So Gainwell really, really popped in that category. Now, a lot of his production came when the Eagles were bad and were passing it a lot late in the game, checking down to Gainwell and other guys, Goddard and Ertz for a while. So take that with a grain of salt. But I think he's worth paying attention to only in PPR format.
How about Cordero Patterson? He's the RB 34. Is that like a discount to you? Does that sound right? How are you cool with what do you make of Cordero Patterson's summer ADP?
I was completely out on him until I started doing research around this topic of efficiency on pass catching opportunities, and he just stood out in every way. And also that we got a report, I think last week or the week before, that Patterson will still be the starting running back, but he will not lead the team in carries. I think that's good. Like, who cares? Like, who cares if Cordarrelle Patterson isn't getting the ball on second and four from his own 35-yard line? Like, that's an empty carry. Like, that's just a wash.
Yeah, I think we don't even want him to lead the team in carries, seeing as like how worn down he was by the end of last season.
Right. They drafted Tyler Allgeier out of BYU to take on those inglorious, like, you know, between the tackles, tough running sort of carries that Patterson was not excelling in, and that we, as fantasy managers, we don't really want. Like, it doesn't matter. So, like, his box score won't look as impressive. Oh, he got 15 carries and six catches. It might be he got three carries and six catches. The six catches are what matters.
And yeah, he had two different kind of carries where he had those like real like inglorious, like you said, early down between the tackles. Then he had so many of the high value touches. And if we just keep most of those high value touches, like cutting out, like again, the ones that aren't really doing anything for him, that he could be like even weirdly more valuable this year. I don't know why we're hyping up Cordarrelle Patterson actually, but.
Well, you know why? Because it's July. It's early July. It's true. But
way to take people behind the curtain. Now they know when we're taping this.
Oh man, sorry, messed up again. We can edit that out, Adam. So I think CPAT is actually a pretty decent zero RB target. I also think that like sharp drafters drafting now are going to value him in a completely different way than casual drafters, who I think will value him much more because of what happened last year. People fall in love with players they snatch off the waiver wire and get that sort of production from. So I think Patterson will be way too rich for me once casual players start coming in.
That makes sense. And what also I was going to do like attempt to do a horrible transition, but we have run out of time for the kicker article. But the good news is we will be right back after this with Mr. Bob Lung. Just a reminder, if you don't have the NBC Sports Predictor app powered by PointsBet, to go download it now. The contests are free and easy to play, and you have a shot to win thousands by predicting what will happen in Major League Baseball, on the PGA Tour, and on the NASCAR circuit. We also have a special contest on Tuesday and Thursday called Battle of the Bets, where you can agree or disagree with our experts for a shot to collect some cash.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
It is now our distinct pleasure to welcome in fantasy industry. What's even the right word? I was going to say veteran lifer, but that would like imply that you're not in your prime, or you're very much in your prime with the Expo, which is just exploding, getting bigger every year. We can't wait to participate. Same with the Kings Classic at the Expo, which I love to be a part of. Made the best All-Star League out there, mm-hmm. I would say. And also the consistency, guys. So yeah, you've had the thing you've been doing for decades, and now you've got the new rapidly growing thing. I don't know what the proper title is for you, Bob. Just Bob.
Bob. No, thank you guys for having me. You know, honored that NBC Sports Edge is our title sponsor this year. That just made me so happy. I know when Ed brought it up to my attention last year after you guys, I think, did like maybe the lanyards or something. You guys, it's like, yeah, we really want to be the title sponsor. And he said, call me first. And I said, you bet. So really excited for you guys to be a part of this. You know, you guys, I know you're bringing the whole crew in.
We are.
I mean, I'm sure there'll be a separate section just for Denny's fans alone, but we'll have to make some concessions, you know, probably have security and various stuff like that.
Well, that was going to be my first question to you is why are you allowing, I love the expo, but why are you allowing Denny to attend? It's really kind of what I would like to know.
Well, you know, the title sponsor kind of gets the lay of the land. So, you know, you have to bring that up with Ed. I have no idea.
It's a constitutional issue, really.
I think so, yeah.
Dan, are we doing?
He doesn't go Zach Wilson on us, you know, while he's in town. That's all I'm worried about. You know, we don't.
That's not a concern with Denny. Not a concern with Denny.
Not at all.
Not
nearly enough testosterone for Denny. But Bob, I mean, I guess it's kind of self-explanatory in some ways. But just tell us about, I mean, for those unfamiliar, like the Expo's mission, what fantasy fans will find there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a fantasy football expo, I guess, is the mission, but it's just. So big, it's just getting bigger and bigger every year, and there's just so many cool sites, cool places, and cool fans there. Just tell people a little bit about the expo in general.
Yeah, I mean, really, you know, I've lived my entire life here in Canton, Ohio. I lived 3 miles away from the Pro Football Hall of Fame growing up as a child. My dad, grandfather, take me to all the games, and you know, we used to do the whole Hall of Fame weekend in 2 days. It was literally like boom, 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 one after another, and you know, so. In addition to that, for the last 33 years, Patrick, maybe you know this, but I've been a volunteer driver for Hall of Fame weekend. So I've driven everybody from Al Davis to John Madden to John Lynch last year. This year I have Mark Davis, owner of the Raiders. So, you know, I've watched this thing just blow up into this amazing 5-day event. And, you know, so as I got deeper and deeper into the fantasy community and kind of gained street cred and people kind of knew who I was and what I was about and where I was at, I always said, man, why are we not utilizing this Hall of Fame city for basically the same scenario, basically fantasy football's greatest weekend? And so, you know, it was just always my dream to kind of do that, bring my two favorite communities together, the fantasy community and my own hometown. And I started with the Kings Classic in 2018, and Patrick, you've been a you know, original member ever since, and
not relegated yet either,
huh?
I have not been relegated yet either. So
no, and we all don't want that now that we have an official way of doing it. But so the idea was, you know, do the Kings Classic, and then we had a lot of fun getting together at BW3's afterwards, and you know, I said, well, geez, why don't we have like a little expo the next day? It's when all you guys are here anyway, and. And so we did that in 2019. And, you know, from that point, you know, we, you know, did the expo in 2019. It was nice. We had about 30 booths, but we only had like 75 people show up. And I'm like, okay, well, it's a nice start. And then COVID happened. And then 2021, which was last year, I really wasn't sure exactly what, you know, was going to happen. But anyway, 500 people showed up. And so, combination of everybody being cooped up for a year and a half and the vaccinations being in place and people were starting to feel a little bit safer about travel, it just blew up. And this year we're going to obviously exceed that. We've added so many more things. We've added a Friday night party. So we have a Friday night party, a Saturday night party. We draft all day Saturday during the day. And then Sunday is the big expo with panel discussions. We have 50 trade booths this year. And so many new topics, not new topics, topics that we haven't discussed in the past. So we have 4 rooms of discussions going on at the same time. The great thing is we're going to record all the sessions. So if you can't go to, you know, one of the, you know, got 2 favorite topics you want to go to, you know, if Denny's one room and Patrick's in the other room, fans are going to have to decide. So now you don't have to because we're going to record them.
We will be in different rooms. We're never in the same room in person. That's
right,
not allowed.
Right. It's kind of like Batman and you aren't in the same room at the same time. Right? So we're going to record all the sessions. So afterwards, if you attend and you didn't get a chance to go here and you missed this one, you can watch them all videoed online after the fact. So We've got a cornhole tournament, flag football tournament, quarterback skills challenge, all during the Friday and Saturday party. So it's going to be an absolute blast. I can't wait for this all to come about.
So. Yeah. Back-to-back party nights, I think we're going to get, and we're going to need NBC to sponsor Pedialyte or Gatorade for
that's a great idea
at the expo. So, Bob, you know, we talked a little bit about what was there last year. I think you just mentioned some of the new features for this year. We have a cornhole tournament. We have flag football. What am I missing? What else?
The quarterback skills challenge.
Oh, right. Boy.
Oh boy, I'm doing that.
My shoulder's like already sore.
Oh, stop!
We're gonna do that one for charity, probably Fantasy Cares or something like that. So to enter, there'll be three stations. We're gonna throw at some tackling dummies. We're gonna throw at some, kind of drop some dimes into some trash barrels.
Yeah.
From 10, 15, 20 yards out, and then we're gonna have like a net that has holes in it for target practice as well. Yeah. And Trophy Smack's going to supply the winner with some kind of amazing, because that's how they do things in amazing fashion. So it's going to be a great time. And we just started the sign up for the flag football. We're 16 teams. We're going to do 16 teams total. We're already at four, and we haven't even been up 24 hours. So
nice.
Eight player teams, 5-on-5, kind of a modified format, which you can see on the website, but you go out on Twitter to use, I think it's hashtag Expo Flag Football. If you're a prospect and you would like to be drafted by a team so that you can play at the event.
We actually are going to bring Khalil Herbert from the show.
There you go. That's
right. Team. Denny, by the way, is already trying to beg out of the flag football. He claims his knee.
I thought he was going to be the star here.
I hurt my knee in softball. I'm almost 40 years old. Give me a break. As far as the panels go, can you give folks a preview of what will be covered during those panels?
Yeah. So I'll just read them all. Here we go. Expert mock draft, which we always do, redraft strategies, dynasty strategies, the pregame event, which is kind of the, biggest names up on stage, a Devi panel, IDP, sports betting. We have a medical panel with sponsored by the fantasy doctors. They're going to have all kinds of different guys there answering your questions about the various injuries and players, high stakes, best ball strategies, auction strategies, DFS, women in fantasy. A bunch of the ladies are going to get together and just kind of discuss, what it's like to get started. And then actually another one called Getting Started in Fantasy, which is football guys, I think, and Ed's going to be a part of that. Just talking about, hey, if you want to get started in fantasy, you're really not sure where to start. Guys like Joe Bryant, Ed, Ed Williams, various people like that are going to be on stage telling you, how they go through that process and hire people and, how you can get yourself noticed. So just a lot of great things for every various stage of fan, analyst. We're all fans. I mean, we're all fans of each other, right? I'm huge fans of you guys. I'm sure you buy my consistency guide, obvious, right?
Of course.
But we're all fans of each other, and that's what's great. It's a great community. It's not like Twitter. There's not trolls out there trying to.
It is not like Twitter. It's a very, very, very good vibes the whole weekend.
Excellent vibes. Yeah. Yeah. There are no Twitter trolls that come to this thing and start, yelling at people for their bad takes. So it's just a good time.
Bob, what is different, or if anything, with the Kings Classic this year? How many leagues are we up to in the Kings Classic?
So we're still at three, two live and then one online. The online, of course, is made up of 7 out of the 14 teams are international. We have guys in England, Mexico, Canada, Germany, South Africa, Australia. So we have all that. And then we have some various people who just can't make it in but want to be a part of it due to travel issues. But, yeah, so – that's still happening. No real new news this year. I think we are moving fantasy points into the live draft because we were going to have Jeff Manns. He can't make it. So Jeff's going to move back. So fantasy points going to move up. I think Graham Barfield, probably Joe Dolan will be part of that. Fabiano will be in. Howard Bender's coming in this year for Fantasy Alarm. A lot of the big, obviously all the big names that we always expect, like Brad Evans and Andy Behrens, Dave Richards, Mike Clay, all those guys will be coming in as well. So if you are a fan of all of these guys, which I'm sure most people are, it is kind of like, you know, the highlight of the year for, you know, if you always wanted to meet your favorite analyst, top expert in the countries, here it is. They're going to be right there in Canton, Ohio. And oh, by the way, we get to have drink, you know, do a lot of drinking and have lots of fun. And our drinks will be shot. So there we go.
It is surreal to see everybody in the same room. Not everybody, but you know, a lot of people, you know, from online in the same room. I almost felt like rattled by it when I first saw it. You know, I'm looking around. Oh, there's Andy Behrens. There's Brad Evans. There's Pat Daugherty. Like, I mean, this can't be real. It was quite the experience, and I'm looking forward to it again.
Yeah, Bob, before we let you go, I mean, tell people about the consistency guide, just what it is, where they can find it, and maybe a few of the examples this year.
Yeah, so the consistency guide is something I've been writing for the last 6 years. Honored to be nominated for 5 straight seasons as one of the best fantasy publications in the country. Last year, I lost out to you guys, which is fine. I'm fine with that. I'm just honored to even be nominated.
That's how we could afford to sponsor the event this year. So
yeah, there you go. Right, because of all those sales. We did win it in 2018, so I have won it once. But the whole idea is just, you know, if you play fantasy football, you kind of, if you haven't run into this problem, you get to the end of the year, you miss the playoffs by a couple games, and you're still one of the higher scoring teams. You're like, I have no idea what happened. Well, you might have a lot of inconsistent players on your team, like an Antonio Gibson, who was 10th in total points, but only 56% consistent. Tyler Lockett, you know, those kind of players every year that seem to, you know, put up the big points, but not in a consistent basis. And so the magazine's out on Amazon.com. Just search 2022 consistency. Something new this year, which I found very effective so far, and I'm going to be using it obviously in the Kings Classic, is created a calculation for flex consistency. So you're in these high flex leagues like Superflex with Scott Fishbowl, and they have multiple flexes. We have 3 flex, extra flex in the Kings Classic, is how that the adjustment of the clutch factor, which is where you earn your clutch game to get to your consistency rating, when it drops down a little bit because you have more players involved, more flex positions, some players actually start really jumping up numbers-wise. So, for example, Kirk Cousins goes from 63% to 85% in a super flex league. Even a Daniel Jones went from 35% to 65% in just a regular super flex. And that was last year without Brian Daboll. So a lot of potential for improvement there. So if you're in one of those kind of leagues, that flex consistency is some great information that is new to the guide this year and on the Big Guy Fantasy Sports website.
That's a great addition. I think winning the flex is a key to getting to the playoffs and obviously getting a championship. So that's a great addition.
Yeah, thanks.
Bob, anything else you need to tell us about the guide, about the expo that you want people to know? What are the dates?
So August 12th through the 14th, that's in Canton, Ohio. The tickets for the whole weekend, so all the parties, everything, the $75 for the weekend package. Go to thefantasyfootballexpo.com. You can buy your ticket packets there. If you want to put together your flag football team, you want to get, you know, that kind of stuff together, you know, start working on that. We'll have the quarterback skills challenge probably out next week for that. But you know what? It's a month from today.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
That's the scary part.
I need to buy my tickets.
Yeah,
I bought my plane tickets.
You guys are covered. Ed's got your coupon code. And then, of course, you know, I'm sure you guys have been reading this a lot of your podcast. Anybody out there who is listening to this, use coupon code NBCPASS, and that saves them $20 on those ticket packages. So make sure you do that.
You're down to $55. At that price, you can't afford not to buy.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
so
it really
definitely
is.
Come out, come see your favorite guys here, Denny, Pat. Say hi to me. I appreciate that as well, but I think you're missing out. If you can get here, get here. That's all that's I can
say. No, it's true. Quite literally, everyone's there. NBC, CBS, ESPN, RotoWire, RotoViz, any one of your company, NFL Points, Network, any company you can think of, we're going to be there and hanging out and having a good time. And, you know, Canton, Ohio is like basically a 6 to 8 hour drive from like anywhere in the country. if you can't fly into Canton, Cleveland's just an hour drive. It's very easily accessible. So we highly recommend checking it out. And Denny and I will be there. So I don't know if that's a selling point or not.
But. Yeah, it should be. I don't know why it wouldn't be.
I feel like it's a wash. I feel like the number of people
Bob, thank you so much for stopping by and taking time to tell us about it today.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure. We'll see you in a month.
Always a pleasure. See you August 12th. That was Bob Lung. I'm Pat. That's Denny. Denny, should we talk about kickers or should we just end the show?
You check out my kicker regression piece on the site. It's honestly, it's hard to talk about.
Who are some people bouncing back this year? Just check it out on the site. It is, if you're going to read about kickers, it might as well be in July.
Absolutely. Brandon McManus. That's all I'll say.
Oh, boy. That's actually a really good one. We should be try drafting him in every league.
You should.
But check it out. Denny is always filling the website with content. I will be later this week posting my annual general manager rankings. Yes. So please check that out. Much thanks to Bob for joining us today. Much thanks to Russell Wilson for 25 minutes of subject matter. Not a whole lot going on right now.
I could have gone for an hour. I have so much.
I think we could have. We probably just should have. But Russ, we're all rooting for you, and we'll keep debating your T levels until the end of time. We will not be debating Denny and I's T levels. They are low. That's why we need this audience. We need you so bad. We need any shot in the arm, any boost we can get. So thank you so much for listening. For Bob, for Denny, I'm Pat. We will catch you later this week on Thursday.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.